Hello, my friend. So it is not often that I get to have someone back on a podcast after several years and hear about the changes in their business. This hasn't happened often, but I am excited that you get to hear this today. So back in September of 2020, I talked to one of the co-founders of Interact, which is a quiz software company. And I remember this interview so fondly because I was sitting in my closet because if you remember 2020, things were a little crazy. So I was sitting in my closet because there were more people in my house and things were louder. So I was sitting in my closet and Josh is one of the co-founders of Interact. We were talking. And my whole purpose of having him on the podcast was to talk about quizzes and how to grow your email list and all these things. And if you listen to that episode, we talk more about entrepreneurship than we do about quizzes. And this goes back to one of the episodes that I took more from than any other episode. It's one of those ones that I've thought about over the years because he had such nuggets of wisdom about being an entrepreneur and how difficult it is, but rewarding it is, and how to keep going. And it was just one of those conversations that I appreciated so much and continued to think about over the years. And so, in true fashion, I stayed connected with Josh and all the team over at Interact, and I have been a partner of theirs ever since. And I'm a huge fan of their software. They make things so easy, and their team has grown, and it's just been so nice. So when they were launching, and they are now launching right now, Interact AI, which is the part of the quiz software that uses artificial intelligence to help you create a quiz even faster and even more effectively. It's a freaking fantastic thing. We're going to talk about it today. And really, I talked about it more in last week's episode. That's episode 233, just in case you're listening and not knowing the numbers. It's 233. So go back. It's a solo episode with myself just talking about creating a quiz because in true fashion, in this episode, when I'm talking with Josh again, we talked more about entrepreneurship because what I was thinking is, of course, I wanted to talk to him about quizzes, but I could tell you about the quiz, which is what I did in the last week's episode. And you can't always get the wisdom of a co-founder who has built software that has created this software that has allowed 1 billion people, that's right, 1 billion people to take quizzes. And so I can tell you how to create a quiz because they've made it so dang easy. What I can't do is give you the information from Josh. And so that's what I spent my time asking. I wanted to ask him the questions that I knew you would want me to ask, which is, how have you taken this business from an idea to something where 7,000 people use this software in terms of 7,000 businesses, mine being one of them? 7,000 different businesses who use quizzes and have now had over 1 billion people take quizzes, like that's pretty massive growth. And what I wanted you to hear was how he talked about how this has happened. And they're a very lean team. I asked him a lot about building a team and keeping the culture because it's something that he was really set on, which I appreciate and admire, of creating a culture that is positive, not toxic, you know, keeping people for the long haul, doing financial things in a wise way in his business. And so you're going to hear all of this in this episode, which is what I really want you to hear because I think so many times we look at people like Josh and we see, oh, he went from 1 to 7,000 customers. And we think that it happened overnight and we think that it was easy. And he does not tell you that today. He tells you that it was hard. He tells you that it was difficult. And he tells you how he did it, how he asked questions, and how he and his team have iterated. And I love it. I think it's, again, going to be one of those ones when I look back a few years from now and say, it's one of the ones I learned the most from. And so I know you're going to enjoy this. And again, I want you to still create the quiz. I want you to do that. And I really express that desire for you in episode 233. And I want you to go back and listen to that one too. But this is going to be inspiring in a whole other way because you're going to want to use the system to create the quiz for sure. But I really want you to hear how he talks about iterating in his business and how he's done that because you as an entrepreneur need to iterate in your business. And while I don't know exactly what that looks like for you today, I bet it's challenging. I bet you think it's easier for everyone else. And I bet you think it's a shorter time frame. And so hearing from Josh, who's done this, and he's not the only one, he's just the only one on the podcast interview, but him and his whole team have done this in a way that has continued to hold a great culture together and created a team and created a system and a software that can help us build our business, which is just incredible. So let me tell you a little bit about Josh. So Josh Hainam is the co-founder of Interact, which is a quiz tool used by over 7,000 of the world's top businesses. And yours can be one of them. It is a great tool. So Josh co-founded Interact in college with two of his friends 11 years ago, and it has grown to over 1 billion quiz takers in total. That's incredible. But I really want you to hear that. 11 years, my friend. It did not happen overnight. And so Josh is really open with talking about this, and you're going to love this. So I'm a huge fan of Interact and now this incredible new product of Interact AI. And you're going to hear so much, not only about the product, but how they have created the product as well as grown the company. And I know that is going to inspire you. But I want to remind you that I have all of the details about creating a quiz over on my website. So I want you to go to amandamckinney.com/interact. That's I-N-T-E-R-A-C-T. And you'll find everything. The link to test this out for free. My quiz is linked there, as well as the pro tips I have and the lessons I've learned. And I'll continuously update this page when I learn more. So I want you to make sure that you go check that out. There's lots of examples there as well. Again, that is amandamckinney.com/interact to get all the details. But I won't make you wait any longer. Let's hear from Josh. This is the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a profitable and productive business that you are proud of. On this show, we explore entrepreneurship success stories, but not just the highlights. We get into the nitty-gritty details so that you know more about the path traveled to achieve that success. See, I'm on a mission to help you never feel like a failure again when it comes to achieving your goals. And so much of that is setting realistic expectations of the effort needed, goals that align with the season of your life, and ensuring that you have the accountability in place that you need. So on this podcast, you can expect real conversations, practical tips, and lots of encouragement along the way, so that you have everything you need to follow through and actually achieve your definition of success. So if you're ready to go from unsure to unapologetic, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for coming back on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's nice to be back.
It really is. I was looking back and we talked in September of 2020. And before we hit record, you and I were reminiscing on, oh my gosh, it feels like a lifetime ago. And I am just so curious of how things have evolved for you and your amazing company ever since we talked in 2020. But real quick, I'll give a recap for anyone who didn't hear episode 64, that you and I talked about how we talked about quizzes, which was really cool, but the majority of our conversation was actually about entrepreneurship in general and how you started back in 2008, started several different companies, then worked with Matt. You and Matt founded Interact, and it's this amazing quiz software that we can now use. And you tried, you had a lot of iterations, and it was just really cool to see and hear that conversation. But now I'm curious, how 2020, go back to September 2020 to now, how have things changed in your amazing company?
Yeah, it's a really good question because those last few years have been frothy is my favorite word for the last few years. Frothy. Yeah, I mean, so 2020 was a crazy year. It was the beginning of the pandemic. There was a lot of people flooding online, just a lot of new people wanting to use quizzes, especially brand new businesses. So that was a lot to try to absorb on our end. And then, as I'm sure most of you know, and maybe you felt the effects of this, like starting in 2021 through this year, although it seems to be ticking back up, the last like 3 years have been very, very slow. A lot of those people that thought they were going to start online businesses didn't follow through. And so that was tough because we had to put in all the work up front and then there was no real you know, pay off from that. And then in the tech economy, it's just been tumultuous. There's been a lot that hasn't been going well. So it's definitely been a challenge, by far the most difficult stretch of this company, even more than the beginning part. So I would say the big takeaways there is we really planned well, and credit to our COO, Annie, for that. She's incredible at foreseeing, you know, possible negative things in the future and setting us up in a way where, you know, financially and all the other kind of logistical things, we didn't have to worry. We didn't have to lay anybody off or any of that stuff. And what we were able to do is really just come in and focus every single day and just like really, really work on the things that needed to get done. And that's been what our team has been aligned on the last 3 years, is like, look, we can't control the broader economy. We can't control what's happening, but, you know, we're going to come in and just like work on our craft every single day and just get better as a group. And I would say that's paid enormous dividends. Like, we are firing on all cylinders now across the board. We've built out an incredible team, especially the last few years with new additions. And then we have some folks that are been with us for 6-7 years now. So that's amazing. And that whole team and the focus on just continuing to do what we do rather than getting wrapped up in the tumult and frothiness has really been an incredible learning experience for me, because, you know, coming up, building this company, we didn't really realize that we were building it in a strong economy. And then now building it in a slow economy, the connection there is like, no matter what's happening at a broader level, just focus on getting better. And then when, you know, things go up and down, it doesn't matter that much. You're really just kind of doing the same things all the time. And that's been a huge growth for me and a huge, huge learning experience that I am grateful for in the long run.
Oh, you had so many great things that you just said that I'm like, gosh, I hope I can remember all of those wonderful things to pull it back in. But one of the things was staying focused. And that's really an interesting thing, because I think so many of us, myself included, I think it's really easy for us to look at what's not working and get really caught up in, oh my gosh, this isn't working. This is so hard. This is a tough season. But when you're talking about staying focused on what is working and moving towards that and staying focused with your daily activities, I'm putting some pieces together, so correct me if I'm wrong here. But what I'm hearing you say so much more is that you stayed laser focused and didn't have as much of this shiny object syndrome, or you focused the team on, I'm assuming, a goal, a very specific metric you're going to track. And you did that in a way that allowed your daily actions, because that's where I see people really start to miss the mark on like moving forward with a goal, is the daily actions. And it sounds like you dialed in and you dialed in that team. Does that accurately describe what happened?
Yeah, dialed in is a great way to put it, because, you know, prior to 2020, we were still pretty focused, and being a bootstrap company, we've always had to stay very true to what actually works. We can't really afford to do a bunch of extraneous stuff, but I would say our focus has really sharpened the last 3 years, where the percentage of the time that the projects we're working on have a direct output has gone up dramatically. And so we know that everything that we're doing is leading to a good outcome for the company, for each other, for our team, for everybody. And yeah, I mean, coming off the other side of this, I just feel like we are such a productive group. There's only 13 people I interact in. We have 7,000 plus paying customers, which is a crazy ratio. And I think just really is a testament to how much, not just me, but like every single person on the team has looked at their work, looked at what they do, looked at what they own, and just really removed anything that's noise and just focused in on what really matters.
That is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And also really, really hard to do. So I'd love to know how, especially as you've grown this incredible team, which shout out to your team, the ones that I know their names specifically, like that I have interacted with, like, oh my gosh, they are so wonderful. But I'm certain that even those that I don't know their name are wonderful as well. So as you've grown this team that went from you and Matt to 13 people, that as you've grown that team, how have you guided them and kept them focused? And, you know, how do you navigate goal setting and really making sure that everyone knows what their role is on the team so they can stay really focused?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to co-ownership. It's like each person on the team owns their area of the business and really lives into that, which makes my role a million times easier because now I'm steering or directing or giving guidance, but each person is running their own areas. And so that, I think, is great across the board because, you know, I think about, you know, steel manning myself on the other side, and it's like, well, that's what I would want. Like, I'd want to have the freedom and the ability to figure out how to reach my own goals for whatever role I'm in. I would say focus-wise, the biggest thing is just having a broad context around what works for us historically, what works in history in general. I read a lot of books about previous entrepreneurs dating back, you know, hundreds of years to kind of know what are the things that we can rely on working. A lot of people call that first principles, which is kind of a trendy term now. But basically, my interpretation of that is just like, what do we know for a fact is going to work? Let's make that our baseline and then build from there instead of just chasing like, oh, I heard about this idea here and that idea there. Maybe we should try this. Maybe we should try that. It's like, okay, what's actually going to work? Even if it doesn't scale at first and it's tedious or it takes a lot of work, keep working that process and then we can get the kinks out of it and make it work better. But don't just jump from thing to thing trying to find a Band-Aid that's going to make everything better.
Everyone needs to hit the rewind button and listen to that again and hear that, because as we all know, it's often hard, but what I'm hearing you say and what I'm appreciating so much is that when you are bootstrapping, when you are really, not necessarily only in the beginning, but when you are really trying to get something up and running and actually scalable, you have to be willing to see what is working and stay laser focused and iterate. And this is something that we talked about in the first podcast episode that you and I did together. And you said something that has stuck with me ever since. And I just want you to know that. It's really interesting. You said the definition of being humble is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And ever since you said that, I have remembered it and thought about it. And I just love that approach. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because not only are you and your team really focused, but you're also willing to iterate based on your customers' feedback. And you said that in the first episode, and you're saying it again now. And so thank you for shedding a light on that again and being willing to do that and staying super focused as you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny because that's like what was coming to my mind in a slightly different wording, where it's just like the adaptability and egolessness of our team is what makes us able to do so much. Like one of our team members recently, we just chatted and collaborated and shifted some focus. And if they had not been willing to think of themselves less, just like that quote, right? It's like, it's not that they have any less confidence in their abilities and it's like, oh, well, the strategy we were trying didn't quite work, so that must mean I'm not good at my job. No, that's not it at all. And the thing that I think allows us to do so much is that nobody thinks of themselves that way. Nobody thinks, oh, I tried something, it didn't work, I must suck. You know, let me have a pity party for myself for a month before I do my next thing. It's like, no. You're really good at what you do. It just means that the approach doesn't work. And so If we're all on the same page about that and we can all feel that and live into that, then we can all just move really rapidly and nobody's over here like, oh, well, I feel bad because my thing didn't work out. It's like, no. We're all high achievers here. We're all getting stuff done. That just wasn't the right thing for a variety of reasons. Let's try to figure out why and then move on so that we can actually move everything forward rather than sitting here pontificating of like, oh, I feel like I didn't do the thing. And that's exactly what that quote is about.
Fantastic. The egolessness of the team is so fabulous. And I think, you know, I want to give the whole team credit for embracing that, but I also want to give you and Matt and any of the leaders on your team that lead with that. Because if the leader does it, then the rest of the team feels empowered to do that as well, to fail fast and learn fast, versus a company, not yours, but other companies that really punish for having not the result that you hope. But the reality is sometimes it just didn't work. We tried it. We're going to move on. We need to move on fast and keep going. And so I applaud everyone on the team for embracing it, but especially the leaders who lead by example, because it sounds like you all do.
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep some levity in it, because otherwise it can be like you can get down on yourself for sure. But it's just like, yeah, like a majority of the things that we've tried over the years just completely fall flat. And rather than seeing that as a failure and like, oh, now I'm going to, you know, slow down or whatever, it's like, cool, we learned what didn't work and why it didn't work. And well, let's just try something else. And it allows you to move through those cycles really quickly. And I think, yeah, just kind of setting that precedent across the board has been super helpful, because obviously it depends on what area of the business you're working in. We're big enough now where there's a lot of things that have to be super polished before we put it out. But in other areas where we're experimenting, it's just like, yeah, try 10 things, see what works. We'll take the best two, we'll iterate on those, and then we'll continue that process. And that's how we figure things out.
Exactly. I love that very quick, you know, someone's like, how do I do that? Like you just gave them the template of, okay, make a list of 10 things, pick the two that work the best and keep moving forward. And I'm going to introduce something that I'm really excited to share with people, because I happen to be one of the, I don't know how many of us were out there testing this for you all, but you all have implemented AI into your quiz software, which is really cool. And before we dig into that and tell people how they can use it, I'm so curious how you all dove in with that and how, because I'm certain that the first iteration was not perfect. So how you dove into that and really used the technique that you just shared.
Yeah. It was fun listening, because some of the folks on our team do a podcast every week under the Interact brand, and they were just talking about it this morning, the evolution of how that product went to market, which it's public facing now, but starting November of 2022.
Oh,
2022.
Wow.
Yeah. As soon as ChatGPT came out public and they released their API where you could like do stuff on the back end, as soon as that dropped, we were making quizzes for customers manually. So we would, you know, ask them about their business, then run it through the AI ourselves. And we went through, I think the number of iterations on building that AI product easily in the thousands.
Wow.
That was a Herculean lift across the board. There's, you know, special shout outs to Evan and Philip on our engineering team who like just worked late nights, pushed through, were very calm when, you know, we'd launch something and then an update would happen on the AI side and it would stop working, and they're just super, super measured about it. To the rest of our team, Damaris, Jackie, Jessman, Jesse, all spent months like manually building quizzes with AI to like iterate on our prompts. And so it's truly Interact AI. Like our team is infused into that product. Our intuition from the last 10 years of knowing how quizzes are made is in that product. We didn't use any customer data because we just have learned exactly what works, and we taught the AI how to do it. So it's an incredible product. It's, I think, the thing I'm most proud of that we've created since we started. It's really, really impressive. And it was such an iterative process all the way from like the manual, where our go-to-market folks were manually building things, giving feedback on the prompts. You know, then that would run through, we'd iterate on those, and the engineering team would put out a version, and we'd go back and forth and back and forth to where it is now, where it's pretty much reliable 2 minutes output to get a quiz created from your website, where it like reads your site, it reads everything about your brand, builds a site for you, builds a quiz for you in 2 minutes or less. Almost every single time. There's occasional glitches every once in a while, but it's really a testament to that practice happening in reality.
Right. And I can't wait to share my thoughts with you, like, face to face. This is so fun. We've interacted over email back and forth over this, but it's fun. But I just really appreciate that you shared the story from November 2022. And I want to say that again, because so many people that I work with, and I'm certain those that I don't, so many people think things happen fast and think things happen super successfully right away for people. And thank you for not saying that it did. Thank you for saying that it took thousands. I really want someone to hear this. Like, we are recording this in February of 2024, and you said November of 2022. So that is a long time in terms of trying to iterate a product. And you said thousands of times. The whole team was working on this. And I'm honing in on this so much because of the fact that people think things happen fast. And I think that it's easy to fall into that trap when we're trying to create something new. And so that it's really helpful for someone to hear, because they're going to go to the site. Like, I'm very confident that after hearing us talk about this, they're going to go to the site and figure it out. And they're going to think that this is iteration number one, and it's not. And so thank you for being honest about that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's thousands of iterations on the prompts that went into like making it work on the back end. And then our team manually, using like the back end of ChatGPT, made over 2,000 quizzes.
Wow.
Which, you know, that's just like copy paste, put in information from the client, generate. If it doesn't work, generate again. If it doesn't work, generate it, especially at first, right? It'd break all the time, unreliable, inconsistent. And so, yeah, I mean, it looks very polished and simple now, but simple is the hardest thing to do ever. And so getting into that point, yeah, it was so many reps. And it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for everybody jumping in, dropping other tasks for months at a time to really push to get that out.
Mm-hmm. And again, coming back to that focus, you knew the focus, and the focus was getting this AI product out and making it work to where people felt it was easy and simple. And it's interesting because I go back to our first conversation in episode 64, and we talked about this because I said, it's so easy to use your product. Because and that was in 2020 before AI, and I thought it was easy, and now it's even easier. But I kept saying that, and you said something that was really interesting, and I'm going to paraphrase you, but you said basically, like, we hear that it's easy to use. It's easy, you hear that from customers all the time. This was, again, back in 2020, but you said the first several iterations, everyone said it was very difficult to use. And so you iterated that product, learned, and made it easy, and you did the same thing again. You had to repeat that hard process again, and it's for a great reason, because it's really, really easy now.
Yeah, it was definitely harder the second time, because with, you know, at that point, thousands and thousands of customers, it's much harder to do those rapid iterations the first time around, right? There's like a few hundred people maybe using it. It's not that difficult to like change things around. And then this time, especially with the AI being part of it, it's like this adds a whole new variable to the system. So last year was the hardest I've ever worked. I think across the board, our team just put in incredible effort. Because it's also kind of a timely thing. Like AI, you know, is here. It's not changing that rapidly anymore. The models that are out are good. And so it's just a matter of like how quickly can you get this implemented. And yeah, like pushing to do that with having a whole customer base was very, very hard. I don't know that I have too many of those efforts left in my lifetime. Looking back, definitely worth it and really cool to see what's come to life.
Absolutely. And I laughed through that, and you did too, that things are always going to be difficult, but that one seemed like it was extra hard. And what I really appreciated that you shared, and I want to make sure everyone hears and captures, is that just because you make it through one thing doesn't mean that all the rest of the things in your business are going to be easy. And often they get harder as things scale. So a lot of people I hear, including myself, I'll point all 10 fingers at myself here. It's like, I want more. I want more clients. I want to help more people. And I think about this when someone ends up like on Oprah's list or something, and then the company ends up shutting down because they can't handle the scale that happens in a moment's notice. And what you just shared was, at first you had a smaller customer base, and so things were easier to shift and move and change. And I hope that everyone right now that feels like they have a small audience, a small customer base, they hear that there is such benefit in that time. And that they can iterate a little bit quicker, because if you had 7,000 people, it's a little harder to implement things.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I would say, at least 10 times harder to implement things now versus in the beginning when you can kind of move rapidly and do whatever you want. I mean, the benefit, obviously, is that there's a whole team to, you know, shoulder the burden with, and we have 13 people. So overall, it's easier, and it's nice to have, you know, people that can carry the weight with you. But yeah, I think, you know, cherish those early days. And you listen to a lot of entrepreneurs that talk, especially when they build really big companies, you know, they have a lot of nostalgia for those early days, because there was the time when you could iterate and, you know, change things rapidly and really dial in what works and do that. So I would say, don't be afraid to do that. You know, like, it's your advantage to be able to move quickly. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs that are scared to move quickly in the beginning. They don't want to mess things up. They don't want to like change stuff around. But I guess the longer you go, if things do work, you'll miss the ability to iterate that quickly.
Oh yeah. I feel really lucky that I've had the iterations in my business that I've had because of following my gut, my intuition, the passion that I have. Each one of them has been hard. Each one of them has been very difficult and challenging in terms of mindset of, oh, are people going to be upset that I'm changing? What if this doesn't work? Is it going to look like I failed at this thing? There's a lot of those types of things that happen when people are iterating. I think especially in the beginning, because we're all so worried about what other people are thinking. I think the longer you're in it, you don't think about that quite as much. I think it might always be there a little, but at the beginning, you're so worried about what other people are thinking and what's going to happen. So I hope that that doesn't stop anyone, but I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I think it's, I was just reflecting on this recently. I think it's a confidence thing, right? Like, I think people feel very confident when they do something and then it makes money, or they do something and get more customers. And, you know, there's these very clear external signals of like, oh, I'm smart and I'm competent. But sometimes that's not the case. Like, sometimes the thing that you do that's really smart and intelligent happens behind the scenes, and you're not going to see the results of it for months or years in the future. But if you are always reliant on that external stimuli, I think this is why people get caught up on a lot of vanity metrics, or they just want to do socials. They don't want to create longer form content because they don't see that immediate, like, hit of like, oh, I did a smart thing. So I think learning to value both is really important. Like, you do need the things that are going to move the needle and get you customers and grow your revenue, but you also need the things that are going to make your foundation stronger, they're going to make your business stronger, they're going to set you up so that you can handle the influx when you get on Oprah's list or whatever it is that brings a lot of people in. And you see this in businesses all the time. It's like, they're not prepared. The company can't actually handle the scale when it does come. And so you're not ready for it. And I think that all ties back to, like, where are we getting our sense of confidence, our sense of self-worth from? And if it's only from external stimuli, you don't build that muscle of learning to enjoy getting better at your craft, it's going to be really hard.
Mm-hmm. I have recently reread the book Drive, and it's focused so much on intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic motivation and the idea of mastering something. And that really influenced my yearly planning and what I wanted to do in my business, because this idea of mastery is not possible. You can't master anything. It's not possible. You'll never actually reach there. But the process of gaining that knowledge and getting better at something makes you enjoy that process. And it really gives you that internal and intrinsic motivation that can help you keep going when you don't have the extrinsic, like, vanity metrics that can push you forward. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah. And I think the reality, and this is kind of what I see in a lot of other folks too, is, like, I think the reality is that the extrinsic, the external stuff oftentimes is kind of the primary thing. Like, you want to build something that makes an impact. You want to build something that helps people. But the intrinsic is almost like the backup generator, you know, when that stuff's not there or it dries up, like the last few years in tech have been, you need that backup generator to push you through. And if you don't have that, then as soon as the external stuff goes away, you disappear. And we've seen so many companies disappear the last few years because of exactly that, I think, where it's just like, there isn't that, like, joy of perfecting the craft behind the scenes to keep people going. And so if the external stuff goes away, they're just like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. I love that analogy of the backup generator. That's so fantastic. And we all need that. Like, we need the electricity that's happening, but when the electricity goes out, we need that backup generator. And that is wonderful. And so I want to highlight what I did. So whenever I was brought in, I wasn't early on in 2022. It was late 2023 when I was testing this. And it was so sweet. And how I don't even remember how it originally started, but it was like, hey, Amanda, we've got this new thing. And I was like, so busy. I was in a season where I had so much going on, and I thought, gosh, I need to think through a new quiz. I want to test this for them because it was important to me. When I partner with people like yourself, I want to show up for you and I want to test things and try and break it because I know that it'll be helpful for you. And so I was like, okay, I've got to really think about this quiz. And so I had it on my list for a little bit. And then when I went to you, to this link that you sent me, that was like, all you have to do is put your URL here and we'll create a quiz for you. I didn't know what to do with myself, Josh. I was like, what? This is amazing. And so I did it. And my friends listening, you need to know how quickly this turned around. And it was a little more than 2 minutes because it was, of course, a while back. But it's 2 minutes now because I've tested it again. And it's truly remarkable how much time you saved me. And I'm bringing all of this in because it was in that moment, like, most people think, gosh, this is going to take a really long time. I've got to really think strategic about this. And Josh, you guys took the time right out of it. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we were hoping to have happen because, you know, speaking of the thousands of iterations on that AI, we took it down to the word. So an average quiz has about 800 words in it. We iterated on every single word when we were building that AI many times. And that's why I say, like, you know, it took so much effort to go into it. And the iterations on those words, it was a combination of, like, the prompt engineering plus the stuff that we have on the back end that is our own proprietary stuff plus the feedback from our team. And I think at that time, Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely at that time, someone on our team was manually doing the AI stuff, which is why it took a little longer. Now that's right. All automated because we took it down to that word level and thought about every single word that goes into every single quiz that gets generated. And now what we basically do is like you put in your website URL, it's going to read that URL, and it's going to translate and transform your content word by word into a really high converting quiz. And it does that in a way that's super granular. And if it didn't do that, I don't think that it would really be that practical because, you know, you've probably all played with like generic AI at this point and it just sounds like gibberish. But by taking what you've already created and then just breaking it down, reforming it and putting it into a quiz, it really does do something incredible and it feels so impressive.
Well, I can tell you from the other side of it, it is very impressive. It was shockingly impressive. I think in my email back to you, and it was like, there were all caps, my mind is blown, like 700 exclamation points. Like I was truly, truly impressed and so amazed. And that was even earlier stage. Like you said, you guys were still doing it manually. Like I was emailing back and forth with you, like, this is incredible. And you were like, you know, what did you change? What did you need to change? You asked me so many questions. And now it's so cool to see that. And as someone who works with people and ask questions about their website all the time, it's really interesting to me. And it's such a cool tool. I don't even know if you all have thought about this, but like if you put someone's website into your quiz maker and they think they've got their message dialed in, but the quiz that comes out on the other end has nothing to do with what they think is on there. Like, what a great test that is. And it's so cool how fast it is. It was amazing. And then the second one, so I've done a few now on the AI platform. The first one was the URL, which just blew my mind. The second one was when I told it I have an idea, and I can't really remember all the different options you'll have to share, but there was an option that was like, I kind of have an idea for a quiz, and I told it the idea, and then a few other things, but it still did everything for me, which was incredible. It saved me so much time, and it helped me from overthinking things too.
Yeah, that's the goal, because you know, I sit down after 11 years, and I've probably written 10,000 quizzes at this point.
Oh my gosh.
And I sit down with a new one and it's still like, not only do I get writer's block sometimes, but also it just feels like a lot to think about. Like, I want this to be good. I want everything to kind of be on brand, but it just feels like a lot of brain work to think about that. And we created the AI, like you said, it's designed to take whatever information you have. Like, you have no information, just your website. Cool. You have like basically everything. You have like endings to the quiz. You have questions. You have, you know, focus areas. You can put all that in and then it'll just like polish it up for you. So it's really just up and down the spectrum of like how much do you already know about what you want to do. It'll just take it from where you are and make it into a quiz, which in the world of AI, that is by far the hardest thing to do. You'll probably notice with a lot of AI products, there is no option to like put in your own stuff. It's going to do everything for you. A little behind the scenes, that's super freaking easy to do. It's way, way, way harder once you start incorporating like a website and then what do you want to focus on? And do you want to ask any particular questions in the quiz? That is super hard to do. In a way that actually is consistent and works. So that's why, you know, you'll probably play around with a lot of tools online and like you basically can't put in any of your own information. It's just going to do it for you, but it's not that useful. So that was by far the hardest part, is like getting all those different levels of like, how much information do you have and what do you already know and what do you want us to do? What do you want to put in that's in your words and how do we meld all of that? But it's super important because that's how it works in reality. Like sometimes you have an idea and sometimes there's no idea. Sometimes you have questions. Sometimes so it's built to work for all that.
Yeah, it's great. I cannot recommend it enough. The fact that you can make a quiz in 2 minutes and grow your email list is unreal to me. Like, this is something that is just so cool. It is so wonderful, and I tell everyone I can about it because it's a really neat thing. And it, and a lot of people want to grow their email list. I mean, most entrepreneurs are like, how do I grow my email list? And this is a great way to do that. And so I'm very thankful for you and your entire team to have built this. And I'm so thankful. And also, I want to give you all a huge shout out for your help articles on how to market a quiz and grow your email list. I have a blog post that's on my website that like incorporates like several of your videos because it's so, so helpful. And you have podcast episodes. So it's not like you can just create the quiz and then you don't know what to do with it. It's your whole team helps people also market that quiz and grow their email list. So thank you for all of that content as well.
Yeah, our team has gotten super good. I mean, speaking of like getting reps in, like we have people that never made a video before and have made several hundred in the last year, like a couple of years.
Wow.
Folks that never did a podcast before, and now there's over 100 episodes of the Interact podcast. People have really just like I said in the beginning, just focused on their craft the last few years and just gotten super good at things that it now looks very seamless. You know, every time they drop a podcast episode, it's like, oh, this is a great podcast. I listened to it. It's like actually super interesting. But in the beginning, obviously, there was a lot to figure out and a lot of, you know, logistics to figure out. Same with the videos and the help docs, making things like really simple and clear and straightforward. You know, our videos have gone from like 10 minutes down to like 2 or 3 with all the same information included. So just really sharp and concise. And mm-hmm. Yeah, the team, everybody on the team has like done that where they've just focused on what matters and then just continued to get better at it like day by day.
Oh, I love it. Such a good way to wrap all this up. It's focusing on what matters, getting better at it day by day. So, so wonderful. Well, Josh, thank you so much for spending your time with me today. And I know everyone wants to go and try this, so I'll make sure and have all the links in the show notes. But where can they learn more about you, your team, and the amazing product you've created?
Yeah, for sure. So we also practice this simplicity on our website. So if you just go to tryinteract.com, everything is pretty easy to find, like the AI thing, all the resources that we talked about. You know, all the stuff is nicely laid out. So it's all just in one place. I'm usually on LinkedIn the most if you want to look me up. My name is easy to find. There's not a lot of other people with my last name. So you'll find me on there if you have any like specific questions or want to reach out.
Wonderful. I will make sure to have all the links in the show notes. Thank you again, Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
Wasn't that just fantastic? I don't know about you, but I was so incredibly inspired after talking to Josh. He's just so humble, so easygoing, and I loved how open he was about how he has led his team and grown the team and how everything is focused on leading to results. And I wanted to remind you of his words that he said here. Towards the end, he said this, but I want to remind you again that he said, focus on what matters and continue to get better at it day by day. That's it. If you need a strategy in your business, I want this to lead it, is focus on what matters, meaning what can get you the result you're looking for. No matter what that result is, more revenue, more clients, more email subscribers, more connections, more partnerships, more collaborations, like whatever it is, focus on what is going to get you the result, not just keeping you busy, but what's going to get you the result. And then continue to get better at it day by day. This is not going to happen overnight. And I don't know how many times I'll have to hear it and I'll have to say it, but I will keep saying it because I think too many of us think it's going to happen quickly. And I want it to happen quickly. I want it to happen quickly for you and for me. So I am possibly one of the most impatient people that you'll ever meet. And so I need this reminder. And so I'm believing that you need it too. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you continue to get better at it day by day, you will make progress. You will be productive. You will see the results eventually. But you have to keep going. If you're constantly switching things, you won't see the progress. So I want that to give you the inspiration that you need to focus on whatever it is that you're trying to do in your business so that you can move the needle forward and you can enjoy the process along the way. So if you're thinking about creating a quiz, which I really hope you are, and thinking about growing your email list and your revenue in your business, I really want you to give Interact AI a try. Even if you're a little hesitant on the AI side of things, which I know a lot of people are, I want you to give this a try. You can try it for free and see how they can take your website and then turn it into a quiz. The words on your website will actually help you. You can do this in just 2 minutes. It's unbelievable how quick it'll turn around, and I want you to do this. So all you have to do is go to amandamckinney.com/interact. That's I-N-T-E-R-A-C-T. And you can give this a try for free and see all the information that I'm sharing. So the pro tips I have, the things I've learned, you can see my quiz, as well as so many other examples as well. So many people that you know in the entrepreneurship space are using Interact, and you can see their quiz. You can see the examples, get inspired, and then do it for yourself and your business. So I want you to do this. Be sure to go to amandamckinney.com/interact, and I'll see you over there. But until next time, give yourself permission to focus on what matters and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with someone else who could use it too. Sharing is caring, but it's also a huge boost to your accountability. Sharing this message and then talking about it will ensure that you actually take the action that was mentioned in this episode. Hello, accountability. There's nothing better than the feeling of actually following through, and I want that for you. So screenshot it, share it, and if you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag me at @TheAmandaMckinney too. Until next time.